Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. You might not find much of anything new to watch in a few months' time because Hollywood writers went on strike at midnight. Correspondent Stacey Lynn reports.
Thousands of writers from your favorite TV shows and movies are walking off the set and into the picket line after no deal was reached with the studios. So why are they striking?
It's never just a question of wages.
University of California, Santa Barbara professor Nelson Lichtenstein.
It's always a question of how the writers can capture their portion of the income stream as it shifts in different technologies and organizational forms.
And that shift has come in the form of streaming.
Police south of Tulsa, Oklahoma, searching for two missing teenage girls, say they discovered seven bodies on a rural property near the town of Henrietta. Nathan Brewer says his 16-year-old daughter was among them.
I'm really still lost. I mean, she was my sidekick. Brittany's younger sister, she, I don't think, still doesn't really understand everything because she's 4 years old. She still says Brittany's missing.
Police say they also found the body of a 39-year-old convicted sex offender believed to have been traveling with the girls. A freak dust storm blamed for a 40 to 60 car pileup on Interstate 55 south of Springfield, Illinois, that killed six people and injured 30 others.
It's like somebody put a brown blanket in front of your windshield. Couldn't see nothing.
Officials say two semi trucks caught fire after high winds blew up loose dirt from nearby farms. The U.S. is tracking another high-altitude balloon, this one off the coast of Hawaii. Pentagon correspondent Cammie McCormick.
It isn't clear who owns the balloon, but there were no indications it was maneuvering or being controlled by a foreign actor. It was about 36,000 feet over the Pacific and did not pass over any sensitive sites. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin agreed with the recommendation of his military commanders that no action needed to be taken.
A Canadian folk star has died. CBS's Peter King looks back.
You could read my mind, love.
Gordon Lightfoot was a singer-songwriter, best known for his ballads.
Just like an old time
a musician whose songs were recorded by everyone from Barbra Streisand to the Grateful Dead. Lightfoot was so revered in his home country of Canada, they put him on a postage stamp.
Gordon Lightfoot was 84. And it was all about the babies at last night's Met Gala in New York. Serena Williams went public with her bump. She wasn't the only one. Rihanna and ASAP Rocky showed off their second baby in the making. The singer told ET.
No cravings, tons of nausea. Everything's different, but I'm enjoying it.
This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples.
Feeling down, anxious, depressed? You are not alone. According to the World Health Organization, approximately 280 million people have depression, but the majority never receive treatment. At WellPoint Care Network, they can help. Their outpatient clinic staff are both qualified and caring, not to mention highly trained in partnering with you on your healing journey. Make an appointment today at wellpointcare.org. They serve all ages, infants, children, and adults. Both in-person and virtual services are available. Learn more at wellpointcare.org.
Let Mike Crivello's Camera Center help you start your family photo album by turning your digital images into gorgeous 4x6-inch prints on 2 for Tuesday. Buy one print, get the second free, up to 100 prints. In-store only at 181st and Blue Mound.
The four most dreaded words.
My computer is down.
Oh boy, that bites. Remain sane. PC and Bat Together will fix the pain. Rated number one PC doctor in Southeast Wisconsin. Great service, great rates, and fast service with no trip charge. Experts with PCs, laptops, network servers, protection, backups, and can even help you remotely. Click PCandBat.com or call us at 262-706-3235. That's 262-706-3235. Remain sane. We fix the pain.
Consumers everywhere are loving the benefits of buying locally produced food. Not only is it fresher and more nutritious, it's also good for the local economy. With state-of-the-art facilities throughout the Midwest, the Village Hearth buns you already love are baked and delivered fresh daily to your local grocer. So whether you like unsliced old-fashioned hamburger and hot dog buns, or prefer classic white or wheat, just look for the familiar red Village Hearth logo on the package, and you've made the right choice. Village Hearth buns, locally baked and delivered fresh daily.
Are you an experienced industrial painter, drywall finisher, or want to be? Do you want more than a job, but a high-paying career where your interests are well-represented, ensuring a safe work environment? The International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7 wants you. Bring your knowledge or ask about paid training. Learn more now. Call Tom Coyne, 262-488-4839, 262-488-4839, or go to the union's website, iupatdc7.com.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. You're listening to independent programming that has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. To learn more and to see our entire broadcast lineup, go to civicmedia.us.
Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. This is Up North News Radio. Here's Pat Kreitlow.
On this Tuesday, May 2nd, 2023, welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. Coming up this hour, make local control great again. It's far past time for a legislature dominated by a party that advertised itself as being the party of local control to stop taking away local control and stop taking away taxpayer dollars from local units of government that can spend the money better locally. We'll talk to former Lincoln County Board member Hans Breitenmoser a bit about the way that state government and local governments could be getting along better and how you can do that through the state budget or through other means. Chad Holmes will join us later this hour from Bull Falls Radio. We'll talk about things going on up in the Wausau area. And we'll also take your phone calls during our this segment or the next segment, if you like, at 844-967-2789, or send us a note, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Or if you're watching this feed on the Up North News Facebook page or the Civic Media Facebook page, leave a comment right there. And if we see it and like it, we'll put it up on screen for you as well. Aaron Zommers is with us from our studio in Madison. And Aaron, we did some investigating. A little investigative reporting is about to happen right here. We are going to break this story on Up North News Radio after spending a good 8 minutes of research. We were able to answer the question from the last hour. Why did the military in 1943 consider the song Roll Out the Barrel to be too lusty to use as a marching song when they were training airmen and troops? How would we best describe what the results of our investigation?
That's right, Pat. Well, today we're bringing you an inexclusive review of the Andrews Sisters version of Biro Biro Polka, the same song that we talked about earlier. So you can hear these lusty lyrics for yourself.
Please be careful. You might want to keep the children away from the radio as the Andrews Sisters give us the verses that lead up to Roll Out the Barrel. Stop. It's getting out of hand here. Now, the verses that lead up to that actually talk all about, you know, young people getting together and dancing, and there's romancing, and they're swinging in a polka. So apparently it's all the lyrics leading up to this about dancing and romancing that do it. So I hope that this hard-hitting piece by Aaron Zommers and yours truly have helped solve the mystery. It really hasn't for me. I don't know about you, Aaron. I'm a little underwhelmed.
Yeah, I guess dancing is just too much for the military to handle.
I guess so. All right, so we've figured that one out. This week, yet before we're done, we're going to come up with the best way for you to help us celebrate teachers next week. It'll be National Teachers Week or Teacher Appreciation Week. I forget what, but we're going to look for a good way for you to share with us the name of an influential teacher and why. And we'd either like to read them or we'll come up with the right way for you to perhaps maybe email us or text us a little selfie video or a little audio in your little voice memo app in your phone. And we can play those things throughout the next week on Up North News Radio. Our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And over on Up North News as well, we will be putting up some articles and features about our favorite teachers. And we'd really like to have your help on that too, in helping us know, you know, who did it for you, who counts, who had that influence that, you know, makes you who you are today. We are going to be talking with Hans Breitenmoser later in the hour about what's happening with the state budget and, you know, how local governments are helped or hurt by this. But one of the big steps in that process is actually going to start later today. The Joint Finance Committee, and again, just as background, that's by Joint Finance Committee, it means it's both the State Assembly and the State Senate. It's their finance committees getting together so that there's only one committee working on the state budget, so the Joint Finance Committee. They have been holding these public hearings around the state. They held their final one last week in Minocqua, and theoretically, what they're supposed to do is take all of that input from the hundreds of Wisconsinites who attended and who offered up some very heartfelt comments at the sessions in Waukesha and Eau Claire and Wisconsin Dells and Minocqua, and then as well take in the input from Governor Tony Evers and the budget proposal that he made in late February, and consider all this and put it together and create a nice, new, healthy state budget that they and Governor Evers can agree on. As we've mentioned before, a lot of what gets said to the people currently running the legislature falls on deaf ears. And in a tone that can best be described as petulance, they are going to take Governor Evers' budget officially today and throw it in the wastebasket by stripping out much of what's in it that they call policy rather than, you know, things that are fiscal, you know, budget related, and then write their own, knowing full well they're going to put things in there that are policy related too. But coming up after we take a break and hear the latest updated forecast from Weatherology, we're going to review some of those things that are going to get kicked out of the budget later today. These are things that have wide bipartisan support across the state. But your legislature today is going to say, you know, thanks, but no thanks. That's coming up next on Up North News Radio.
The four most dreaded words. My computer is down. Oh boy, that bites. Remain sane. PC and Bat Together will fix the pain. Rated number one PC doctor in Southeast Wisconsin. Great service, great rates, and fast service with no trip charge. Experts with PCs, laptops, network servers, protection, backups, and can even help you remotely. Click PCandBat.com or call us at 262-706-3235. That's 262-706-3235. Remain sane. We fix the pain.
When it comes to hair and makeup artistry, there is only one salon that you need, Raven and Blonde. Their stylists are passionate about their work and committed to giving you the best service possible. From precision cuts to perms, balayage to dimensional color service and more, the Raven and Blonde stylists do it all. Book your appointment today at ravenandblonde.com. That's ravenandblonde.com. Raven and Blonde, where hair and makeup artistry meets exceptional service. 157 South First Street, Milwaukee.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Chance for scattered showers today, otherwise cloudy skies. High temperatures reach up to 47. Winds out of the northwest, 15 to 20 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows around 31. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow, 55. Warmer Thursday and Friday with highs in the mid-60s. Chance for scattered showers Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Playing a few tunes from Gordon Lightfoot after his passing away yesterday.
Rainy day people always seem to know when it's time to call.
And rainy day people seem like the right thing to play. Before we head into our weatherology update from Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology, she is tracking a system that has been so slow to move out of the upper Midwest, and it's getting closer, and the warm-up is getting close. It is sunny and beautiful up here on Lake Wissota, but still, you know, 39 degrees. We could do better. Jennifer, I think we're getting there. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, like you said, it's a very slow and gradual warm-up coming up here. We saw that low-pressure system that came in yesterday and then a high-pressure system beyond that. So really not a lot of movement as far as those temperatures are concerned. It still also looks like some winter weather advisories in the extreme northern portions of the state today for everyone else. So definitely it looks more spring-like. Wausau down to Oshkosh and in the south, looking at few spotty areas of drizzle potentially in the afternoon hours with cloudy skies today. Some cloud cover in the Richland, in Richland Center, but dry and then sunny in the west center. Central parts of Wisconsin. Everyone overall still below average as that cold front that did push through yesterday is still kind of lingering around. Looks like upper 40s in the central and southern portions, warmer to the west with highs in the mid-50s around Amory and Baldwin as that warm front begins to push through here today. Sunny and warmer for tomorrow for most everyone as that warm front pushes through the whole state. However, still below average for the day. Low to mid-50s in the south, a little warmer close to the lakefront with some cloud cover over there as well around Milwaukee. Mid to upper 50s from Oshkosh over to Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids, and then low 60s around Amory and Baldwin. Again, they are expecting to see that warm front coming in more so here for today, and they'll get a little bit warmer for tomorrow. That'll include also Richland Center. And continuing to warm for everyone on Thursday as well, expecting to be either at or above average, as most of the state should be in the mid to lower 60s this time of the year. Sunny skies for most here on Thursday, a little bit more cloud cover with a chance for some rain closer to the central and west central parts of the state. And then a slight chance for rain across the board here for everyone on Friday, still with pretty seasonal average temperatures.
Which is all fine, so long as that wind eventually starts dying. I mean, it howled all day yesterday. It was all I could do not to open up the door and yell, enough already, which would have been pointless. But what else are you going to do with a windy day like that? Jennifer, thank you for the weather update. Hope you have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
All right. From Weatherology, that's meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. In sports, there is a three-game series for the Brewers against the Colorado Rockies starting tonight in Denver. Freddie Peralta will take the mound. And as we mentioned an hour ago, there's an article in this morning's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Todd Rosiak and Kurt Hogg saying that when you consider the injuries that the Brewers have had to deal with, they've actually done all right at 18 wins and 10 losses. You've got some pitchers who are missing a considerable amount of time, or others like Aaron Ashby who are out for the season. You've got position players like Garrett Mitchell who's out for the season. Luis Arias won't be back until at least the end of this month. And yet you've got some other players who've really stepped up. Brian Anderson, Bryce Turang, Joey Weimer, Wade Miley, Devin Williams. And so, given all that, you know, 18 and 10, pretty good. Three games in Colorado starting tonight, and then three games in San Francisco as part of that road trip before they work their way back here for a homestand. And, of course, as whenever the Brewers are at home, as we have tickets to give away, we will do those at 6:50 in the morning and would love to have you get a chance to win those seats to American Family Field. All right, we were talking in our last segment here, setting up the what's happening with the state budget and the things that are not going to be in it, at least right away, after action that's taken today at the state capitol by legislative Republicans, who, when they first came into power, said things that obviously sat well with a lot of people. They said they were going to be the party of local control. They said they were going to be the party of fiscal responsibility by not putting policy items in the state budget, that it was just going to be about, you know, money. What we've learned over the years, of course, is that this is a group that will not hesitate to remove local control and has done so in dozens and dozens of ways over the dozen years that they've been in power. That while they will remove what Governor Evers puts in there in terms of policy, they will put their own in there. And we've seen what the priorities are like for actually spending the money in the budget. Again, continuing to call for ridiculous items like a flat tax, which is nothing more than a massive giveaway to people at the highest income brackets and does nothing for people at the lowest end. But to come back to the policy items, those are going to be stripped out today when the Joint Finance Committee meets following all the public hearings that concluded last week. And some of the things that they're taking out that Governor Evers proposed are hardly what you would call a liberal wish list. These are things that have broad bipartisan support, things that would benefit families, things that would benefit the economy. It's not to say some of these things might not get put back in, and it's not to say some of these things might not pass a separate legislation. But what I'm saying is that it's an unnecessarily longer budget process because they feel the need to play this game. If you were in the legislature, if you and I were there, and I from my time in there, I knew plenty of other rank and file legislators who agree with me from both sides of the aisle. We'd get in a room and we'd say, okay, how are we going to do this? How do we want to do this? I was telling you last week about a longtime Republican state Senate leader, Mike Ellis from Neenah. And he's not with us anymore, but when he was one of the last of those characters, if you will, that if you got to talking to him either in the Capitol or outside the Capitol, if you were at a local watering hole, he's the kind of guy that would take a napkin, turn it over, you know, grab a pen or whatnot, and y'all would start talking and you'd look for how you meet in the middle on various issues. It certainly didn't make him any less a Republican. It didn't make him any less a thorn in the side of Democrats whenever, you know, he felt the need to do that. But you also know what your job is about, and your job is about crafting a budget for all of Wisconsin, for all the people, and to do it fairly and to do something that can pass so that you can get on with the next job. Remember, this is a legislature getting paid over $50,000 a year per legislator because they're one of the few legislatures left in the country classified as full-time. This is a full-time job. And yet, twice in the past couple of years here, we've seen Republicans gavel out of session in late February, early March, stay home for the rest of the year, do no legislating, and collect a paycheck for a full year. So these guys are hardly in a position to be lecturing others about, you know, nobody wants to work, and so let's punish people through the state budget. Instead, we could be working together, the legislature and Governor Evers, to say, okay, let's start with some of these policy items. Legalizing marijuana. Overwhelming support. We are an island now in the Midwest, more or less. And Wisconsinites can go across the border to Illinois, they can go to Michigan, they can go to Minnesota, and they can pay money there for products, which includes tax money. That's tax money that's going to other states, going to their schools, going to their local services that we're not getting here. And again, it makes no sense for Republicans to continue opposing it because it's not that there's a massive constituency telling them not to. There's paid family leave. Now, again, if you want to take care of the labor shortage, you take care of childcare costs and worker flexibility for dealing with things like family emergencies. That's where family leave comes in. And one of the things that Governor Evers proposed is using some of the surplus. Yeah, by the way, have I mentioned yet again, there's a record $7 billion surplus. Take some of that to solve problems and try new things that address the labor shortage, like creating a paid family leave program, which for the governor gets started. You need a little seed money. So you start it with about $240 million in one-time funds. After that, it would be funded like unemployment compensation through a payroll contribution that is split. And under the governor's proposal, workers could take up to 12 weeks of paid family medical leave starting in 2025. Payroll contributions would eventually cover the program. It would be self-sustaining by 2026. There's childcare, $22 million that would work to support partnerships between businesses and childcare providers. And I want to emphasize that when you can hear a Republican saying, oh, there's the governor spending $22 million, you know, on a childcare program. It's not handing out checks to people. It's for partnerships for businesses who want to provide affordable childcare to their workers to make sure that they don't face an ongoing labor shortage as people leave. Again, these are not difficult concepts. There's some that admittedly are a bit less bipartisan. Well, let me put it this way. No, they're bipartisan. The Milwaukee Brewers Stadium, American Family Field. The governor includes state funding there, as there was state funding to help build the stadium, which gets me back to Mike Ellis from NINA and the story we told, you know, a couple of weeks back about, getting state funding in that bill. But again, that stadium needs a lot of improvements like any facility does after, you know, a quarter century. And Republicans are going to strip that out, which again means we get to play the game of how hardball will the Brewers get? How hardball will the state get before we look at the potential that the Brewers look to leave after their lease is up? And if you don't think they will, you really haven't been paying attention to major league sports. There are all kinds of other things that are in there that include Evers' proposal for a 10% income tax cut targeting middle and low income earners. Again, 10% tax cut for the middle class, not a flat tax just for the very wealthy, a 10% tax cut for middle and low income earners. In the last hour, we talked about child labor, that the Republicans' answer to the labor shortage was to loosen child labor restrictions, whereas the governor is looking to help children who are more anxious than ever, facing more issues than ever, with a budget item that would add more mental health providers in schools. Republicans are going to take that out today. Freezing enrollment in the state's private voucher school program. The Republicans are going to take that out because, again, they want to fund two parallel school systems in Wisconsin. Can we afford that? No. Not even with a record budget can we do that. I want to find one or two quick examples before we go to break here again. Broadband. $750 million investment into broadband expansion grants. Affordable housing programs are in there. Of course, Badger Care expansion, the Republicans are going to take out. And affordable school lunches and breakfasts. If we can't agree, like we said in the last hour, on making sure kids don't go hungry at school, what are we even doing here? What are they, those lawmakers, even doing here? We'll talk to our friend Hans Breitenmoser about these issues and more coming up right after this break. You're up north. They just pass it on.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Hollywood writers walked off their jobs at midnight, promising lots of reruns to come. Labor expert Nelson Lichtenstein.
This will be a big strike. It will shut down the industry.
A search for two missing teenagers south of Tulsa, Oklahoma, led to a grim discovery. Sheriff Eddie Rice.
We've searched the property and we've located seven bodies.
that we are in the process of trying to get the ME to be able to confirm identities of these individuals that were found.
Two teens and a convicted sex offender they may have been traveling with are believed to be among them. At least six people were killed when dozens of cars crashed on I-55 in southern Illinois amid a massive dust storm.
This is bananas!
Oh, my God. We can't see anything.
Oh, my God!
High winds kicked up dry topsoil from nearby farms. And those winds were unexpected. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Democracy doesn't have to be boring. Founded by revolutionary German exiles in 1853, the Milwaukee Turners at Turner Hall offer gymnastics, rock climbing, yoga, meaningful forums, training, and countless ways to have fun and matter to Milwaukee. Whether you hang upside down or hang out, they've got you covered. Membership is only $35 a year. Be a part of Milwaukee's past, present, and future. Visit them at MilwaukeeTurners.org. That's MilwaukeeTurners.org. Or find them on Facebook or Instagram.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
I just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
Arby High is now in session. Today's subjects, biology.
Name an animal with a long neck.
Dinosaur, long necky.
Let me ask you something. When last time you seen one?
Anatomy.
Name a part of Steve Harvey that a woman might want to kiss.
Your six-pack.
The six-pack? Does she know who Steve Harvey is? You got to dig for it, but it's in there.
Get schooled with Family Feud.
Weeknights at 6 and 6:30 on CW18.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.com.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
Picking up the pieces of my sweet shattered dream.
It has been brought to my attention that my internet connection might be a little glitchy today, so allow me to offer my apologies if the line isn't entirely clear up to Lake Wissota, and we will look into that and try to make that better for you and more clear. But somebody who is very clear is Hans Breitenmoser. He's going to be joining us in just a minute. But I did want to wrap up the discussion on what the Republicans in the legislature are going to do today to strip out some of Governor Evers' policy proposals from the state budget bill. We had a caller earlier, John from Madison, didn't want to come on air, but he noted in terms of the labor shortage that another element of that is pay. And that, you know, again, Republicans have had the legislature for a dozen years. They haven't raised the minimum wage once. It's stuck. And you may argue, well, yeah, but you know, most people aren't getting paid minimum wage because of the labor shortage. true, but there will always still be employers looking, you know, to pay what, however close to poverty they can, rather than provide a competitive wage. Governor Evers put in there raising the minimum wage. And again, Republicans are taking that out today. And then finally, a couple of other policy notes that would be in there: automatic voter registration and repealing, you know, the union busting right to work laws that were put in by, you know, Scott Walker and friends years ago. And again, those things are coming out despite public support. And a spokesperson for Tony Evers said that what it shows us is that Republicans have no real plans to address the pressing challenges facing our state. She writes, if I were a Republican Party that had lost 14 of the last 17 statewide elections, I would simply not reject wildly popular policies supported by a majority of the state. And I would append that with, but you do you, boo-boo. So we'll see how things go there. Hans is up in the Merrill area. Mr. Brighton Moser, how are you?
I'm well, Pat. How are you doing today?
Very good, thank you. And again, we always learn about why the one thing in the budget that we should keep in there is expanding broadband service so that we have higher quality internet to places like Merrill and to Chippewa Falls. But we push on through as best we can. Look, you attended one of the Joint Finance Committee meetings, the last public hearing in Minocqua last week. What were your overall impressions of, you know, what the legislators were saying and what the people were saying who made the trek out there to plead their case for this or that to be in the state budget?
Well, it was interesting, and I'm glad I went. The reason I went up there was to help speak in favor of an expansion of Badger Care, because I feel like small businesses and farms should have access to quality, affordable health care. And I think it's an economic driver, and that's exactly what I told the group. So I was glad to go and do it, but I was frustrated a little bit, Pat. I'm not going to lie, because, you know, there were so many people there. The place was packed, which is great, because, I mean, that really shows that there's people interested in speaking with their legislators, and I think that's what it's all about. But one frustration that I had is that, you know, you have this dais full of legislators, and, you know, everybody knows that it's a long day, and I'm not going to begrudge anybody for taking a potty break. But some of the legislators were gone, like, out of the room for like 50% of the time. And sometimes when they were in the room, they were chatting with the person sitting next to them while people were testifying. And I was just kind of staggered at how I just felt like that is so rude. People were coming from far and wide, hither and yon, taking their entire day and waiting patiently the entire day. A lot of us, because I spoke at 3:30 in the afternoon and I got there like at 9 in the morning, because you don't know when you're going to speak. So that was a little irksome. I think they could change it up and say, you know, make a 2-day deal out of it and you know, take some breaks or whatever. But when you're in the room, you know, like be in the actual room. And be present when you're listening to people testify, because this stuff is important. And if as legislators they claim they want our input, then by God they should be you know, actually present for the thing.
I'm about to jump in on it, because again, I don't know that they necessarily want the input. I think they're doing it because they feel like they have to. And now, look, I'm not going to tell you that every Democratic lawmaker, you know, was perfectly well behaved. I'd sat through a Joint Finance Committee session as a state senator. I wasn't on the committee, but when they do those public hearings, and this particular one was in Eau Claire, they have the hometown legislators, you know, up there as well. So I was up there for hours. And yet, yes, I definitely got the impression, you know, which legislators are actually want to listen. They're taking it in. They're learning information, and which ones are not. And yeah, there's, I'm sure there were a couple of Democrats where I kind of gave them the evil eye as well. But by and large, you know, over these past 12 years or so, it has definitely felt more like a chore for this majority to have to take this show on the road. People have to come, give the impression that they're kissing the ring, and then they're going to go, you know, and do what they're going to do anyway. And when you have that few hearings, of course, people are going to come from all over. They're going to make the long drive and sit all day and say, this is what we want, or this is what we need. As you were listening for those, you know, 6+ hours before it was your turn to speak, what were you getting from that, from hearing all the previous speakers?
Oh, there was just a wide variety. There were a number of people who came from local government talking about roads and infrastructure. So it was sort of interesting because some of the things that you were just talking about earlier were the concerns out in the hinterlands. That people are really strapped in terms of the, you know, townships and counties were represented there in different ways. School districts were represented. Nursing homes were represented, and it's a general theme of, okay, we've stretched these pennies as far as we possibly can. And of course, each one of these each one of these disciplines, or if you will, are coming with their own issue in hand. But it speaks just to the larger issue of, you know, just not enough revenue sharing has been going on for way too many years.
Right. And so let's get into that one for a moment. And we've hit it a few times. And that's because it's an important thing. The revenue sharing component has changed so dramatically since it was first, you know, created in Wisconsin over 100 years ago. Wisconsin was a pioneer in the concept of, hey, we're taking in all this income tax revenue and then later sales tax revenue, but the services are being provided at the local level. And way back in 1911, according to the Wisconsin Towns Association, 90% of all state revenue was directed to local governments. And nowadays, it's less than 10% of state revenue goes to local governments. And now, don't go back to 1911. Go back just to 2003. The Towns Association says that if county and local aid had simply kept up with inflation, it would be funded at $1.5 billion, which is an increase, which is basically, you know, more than double what it is today. And again, Hans, nobody's saying the state government has to go back to 90%, but it is clear that, you know, somebody overshot the mark and that a course correction is needed.
Well, for sure. And I think it's also illustrative of how, you know, partisan politics and hypocrisy are alive and well, because, you know, you look at just the comments made, the little bit that it looks like we're going to get back now, in every other sentence about it, they, you know, the right talks about inflation. So it's the spinning of the narrative that's a little eye roll worthy. At the local level, you know, we'll take whatever we can get, but it's there's no doubt about it. It has been mismanaged for a lot of years, and that's why so many school districts and nursing homes and so forth, but school districts in particular going to referendum constantly. This is not something that we saw a generation ago that now is the norm, you know, and it's because there's just not enough funds in these rural areas.
And in these rural areas, Hans, I have to wonder, when you talk about eye rolling, this has to be happening again, because what we're hearing again is about consolidating services. And consolidating services can be done to a point. But again, when you're talking about, oh, it's all waste, fraud, and abuse, and if they would just, you know, run more efficiently and consolidate those services. Well, coming back again to the Wisconsin Towns Association, looking just at the ambulance services, you have 70% of ambulance services are some form of volunteer. They're strictly volunteer or volunteer with part-timers or volunteer that gets paid per call, whatever the case may be. 97% of town ambulances are provided already jointly or through purchase services. And the same goes for fire services. 98% of town fire services come from some form of volunteerism. I don't really see the waste, fraud, and abuse that you're going to get by making by forcing more consolidation.
No, and at the local level, I mean, you know, again, I was on the county board for 10 years. We're not anti-consolidation. We have partnerships with different entities and different in counties and whatever else. I think local government has been, you know, pioneering that in many ways, you know, because we've been in this fiscal situation out of desperation. But the notion that there's so much fat to trim and we just need to be more efficient by working with other counties is sort of ridiculous because we've been doing that for a long time.
Well, exactly. And how many more times can you go to the well on that and say, well, there's waste, fraud, and abuse, and there's, we have to look out for the job creators, which is really kind of shorthand now for the biggest businesses. So to try to make this more forward-looking, again, with your 10 years experience as a county board member, and knowing full well we're dealing with a Republican majority, so this is, you know, the answer has to be somewhat realistic, shall we say, given who's in charge now. But if you could get this legislature to do something different than what they've done the past decade or so, is there a single thing that you wish it would be?
Oh gosh, I don't know. it always comes back to funding, and I think certainly it just has to do with dollars and cents and how we prioritize things. You were glitching out there, but one of the things you mentioned was prioritizing creating jobs, which is code for supporting the Foxconns of the world and great big businesses at the expense of Main Street. We've got a situation here in our county with our nursing home. The nursing home is, you know, threatening to be shut down, and we're trying to figure out how to save it. It's a county-owned nursing home. There's 150 jobs there. And so sometimes we tip over and fall over ourselves trying to, you know, create jobs by luring businesses into an area. And then in the meantime, we let our school districts and our nursing homes twist in the wind. Well, there's a lot of jobs that are important to the community that already exists. So rather than sit there and ignore them, while we're looking for another big box store or a foreign-owned manufacturer, maybe we should focus on that a little bit. But in order to do that, we need a proper shared revenue situation with the state. We need a relationship with the state that's not the disingenuous relationship and the prickly relationship that we've had, but rather a partnership that it used to be. And again, I'm not suggesting we go back to 1911, but
no,
my God, if we could get to the early 2000s or late 90s, I think we'd have something.
Partnership would be great instead of continuing to exacerbate, you know, the divisions between rural and urban residents where we have a lot more in common than people want to say. Hans, always great to talk to you. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot, Pat. Take care.
All right. Coming up next will be Chad Holmes. He'll join us from Bull Falls Radio. That's after this. You're up north.
Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive. While you may not ask for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to be without heat, water, or power. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. or visit www.heat.help. That's www.heat.help.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Chance for scattered showers today, otherwise overcast. Daytime highs approaching 47. Northwesterly winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Lows level off around 31 tonight. Highs level off around 55 tomorrow. A mix of clouds and sun. Warmer Thursday and Friday with highs in the mid-60s. Chance for scattered showers Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
This was not my idea, but I think Aaron's come up with a pretty good walk-up music for you there, Mr. Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio.
I think it kind of works. I've been running around miles and miles.
I mean, there is not a rink or a court or a diamond that you haven't explored in that area for, you know, doing sports and covering the news and talking to folks from 2 to 4 p.m. weekdays on Bull Falls Radio. You can also hear the show through the Civic Media app or through the Civic Media website. You can subscribe as a podcast. Tell us about some of the topics on your recent shows.
Oh man, it all runs together sometimes.
doesn't it though?
Yeah. Yesterday I had Nancy Stensel on talking about the many things that she's up to. She runs around, I think, more than I do.
Oh, she does. Yeah,
she was down in Madison last week, just talking to some folks who are elected officials, and she had some interesting stories to talk about. Some of the people she talked to spoke about. It's amazing, and you know it. I mean,
I do.
Some folks down there are so on top of it, and others, I think, don't get it. Yeah. And it's funny to hear a little bit of the background on it. But she's also going to be taking a lead in the 7th Congressional District in terms of the Democrats, in terms of trying to build the party in the 7th, to try to make it a more competitive district to hopefully, yeah, put a little more heat on Tom Tiffany, and it's interesting to hear about that because it's not going to be an easy job. She is somebody that tends to go up some pretty steep mountains, and very, very impressive.
She very much does. She's somebody who definitely has cleats on the hiking boots for the mountains that she has to climb. And I did see her in Rice Lake last weekend at the 7th Congressional District Democratic Convention. And yeah, she is somebody who has been just tireless. And whether it's on, you know, environmental issues around that area where there's talk of, you know, potential, you know, mining exploration or what have you, or all of the various political issues, she understands that district has its fair share of, you know, progressive residents and voters and moderate residents and voters, but that reaching people in that big of a district takes, it's almost a full-time job in and of itself. And you're, like you said, you're doing the traveling to Madison and around the area, but there is no other way than other than talking to in person as many people as humanly possible.
Yeah. I mean, it just takes an incredible amount of energy and hard work. There are no shortcuts. And I think sometimes you feel like, oh, if you just have the issues, or if you just have a certain hot button topic to get people. No, there's a lot of underlying work that has to be done, especially when at this point, the numbers are not for you. You have to be able to maximize every one of your voters and maximize every one of your contacts. And it's a process. And that's one of the things. It's not something to be turned around immediately, but to have somebody like that who's willing to do the hard work, who has ideas in terms of what needs to be done, is a first step.
And I think a lot of people see the big numbers, the multi-million dollar races and all the TV ads, and you know, they think that it's all done at that high dollar level. But no, what those dollars pay for in part is to, you know, the campaigning at the grassroots level that people like Nancy and other volunteers do. There was a story from the area, and I know you were talking a bit about it, taking a few phone calls. There are questions about whether a particular teacher up in that area was engaged in or using language that was, you know, anywhere from inappropriate to racist. Can you give a little background? Is that anything that's being like investigated, or is this just a, you know, a big local rumor mill? What's happening there?
Oh, it's actually been investigated and actually has been decided at this point. I first heard about it last week, last Monday. The school board met, and I'm watching the board meeting, and there were a lot of folks there. And there were speakers talking about this particular issue without being as specific, because I had not heard about this. We had a member of the Asian American community and a former board member who spoke, talking about how what was said and what was being done was unacceptable, and there's only one thing you could do. Again, there was no introduction into all this was going on. And then there were four different students who came up to speak in favor of this teacher, who is the band teacher at Wausau East, talking about how this teacher had made the band and made school. It was, you know, a glowing report. So we had basically these two sides. And the next day I happened to have the school board president, Jim Boucher, on my program. And he really couldn't talk about it, because he said he was, you know, basically the board was going to be a jury for this, could be a jury for this topic. But then within a day or so, it came out that there was an investigation. It did not actually go to the board. It was an investigation. And that while some things that were said were inappropriate, the decision was made to put the teacher back in the classroom. Apparently, he had been not in the classroom for about 3 weeks. And obviously, it was a decision that upset members of the family of the student and also members of the Asian American community here in Wausau. There was, you know, put out a press release and basically was just livid about it. The district had put out a statement saying that this would be an opportunity, an educational opportunity, and I think it's very difficult to see how you couldn't, where you just brought him back into the classroom, based on, because it appears the evidence is agreed upon by everybody that some things were said that should not have been said.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, and the school board, as if memory serves, and I may be overstating the case here, but essentially has what you'd call a conservative majority after some of the recent elections on there, and you now have a segment of the population that is outraged, but that the superintendent sends this letter out that said the teacher's language does not rise to the level of discrimination or harassment, but that it was insensitive and caused the children to feel unease. Well, that to me just sounds like a lot of legal hair splitting there. And when you really should be talking about what on the whole is good for the children, all the children, especially those in, you know, positions where they may feel targeted for who they are. So I'm not saying that, you know, we're going to solve it here, but obviously there's a part of the community still unhappy about this, and I'm very thankful that your show is following that. I've left you all of 10 seconds here to tell me if you got anything fun you want to talk about on today's show or the rest of the week.
Well, speaking of which, I have a former school board candidate, Jillian Bettino, coming on at 3:15.
Very good. All right, that's 2 to 4 on Bull Falls Radio. Chad Holmes, thanks so much. Always good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, Pat.
All right. Have a great day. And we appreciate your being here as well. We will have another edition here, 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. But in the meantime, Earl Ingram next in Waukesha, Oshkosh, and Green Bay. Stephanie Miller in Madison. Todd Alba across the rest of the Civic Media Radio Network.
2020. That's the vision at Holtebeck Eye Center. At Holtebeck Eye Center, they provide the most professional and compassionate care in the industry, from your first call to follow-up after treatment. If you've been dreaming of seeing clearly again, Dr. Holtebeck can restore your vision with expert care and attention to issues like cataracts, glaucoma, and diabetes complications. You'll not only see better, but feel better too. Don't wait any longer. Improve your eyesight. Visit Holtebeck.com. That's Holtebeck.com.
When it comes to hair and makeup artistry, there is only one salon that you need, Raven and Blonde. Their stylists are passionate about their work and committed to giving you the best service possible. From precision cuts to perms, balayage to dimensional color service and more, the Raven and Blonde stylists do it all. Book your appointment today at ravenandblonde.com. That's ravenandblonde.com. Raven and Blonde, where hair and makeup artistry meets exceptional service. 157 South 1st Street, Milwaukee.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.